Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution. I'm your host, Emily Kurlinski. Today we have another opportunity to speak with Dr. Michael Eggener. Dr. Michael Eggener is a professor of neurosurgery and pediatrics at Stony Brook University in New York. And beyond his medical practice and research, he also serves on the scientific advisory board of the Hydrocephalus Association. And he is a senior fellow at Discovery Institute's Walter Bradley Center for Natural and Artificial Intelligence. Dr. Eggener, welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
By this point in your history with Discovery Institute, you've written dozens of articles for Evolution News, for Mind Matters, and for other platforms. And I think it's fair to say you've offered commentary on quite a wide range of topics that we immediately associate with science, things like medicine and Nobel Prizes and black holes, consciousness, etc. So I'm going to admit that I was a little bit surprised. I did a double take when I looked at the title of an article you wrote in September of 2019, and I saw the name Jeffrey Epstein. And the full title of the article is Jeffrey Epstein and the Silence of the Scientists. And just a quick note regarding Epstein. We're not going to get into much detail here, but if you're less familiar with his name, a quick internet search will give you enough information to understand Epstein's backstory and the context of this interview. Now back to our conversation. I'm wondering if you could tell me why Jeffrey Epstein, who wasn't himself a scientist, was so influential for scientists and scientific research.
Well, I think the Jeffrey Epstein story is actually one of the most important stories about modern science that we've seen in decades. And the reason is this. Epstein befriended many scientists at very high levels of the scientific community. And he funded several scientific endeavors, including an institute at MIT and an institute, I believe, in Arizona. He was responsible, again, not only for camaraderie with scientists, but with providing them with quite a bit of money. And it's very important, I think, to consider what that tells us about the culture of science. These friendships and this funding, by and large, happened after he was convicted for child prostitution in 2008. And this was very public information, so that the scientists who were joining him on his airplane that he flew to his private island, and the scientists who were taking his money and who were having dinner with him, were quite aware of what he was doing and of what he had been convicted of. And unquestionably, there were thousands of scientists who, while they didn't have direct contact with Epstein, were quite aware of what was going on. In fact, their paychecks may have come from Epstein's funding. And it's worthwhile to ask yourself this question. Who spoke up? Who in the scientific community stood up and said, you know, we shouldn't be associating with this guy. We shouldn't be taking his money. And the answer, of course, is that no one spoke up. Not a single scientist spoke out. Until, of course, the whole Epstein story broke, and then, of course, everybody spoke out. But when it would have made a difference, no person in the scientific community said a word against Epstein.
Let's suppose for just a minute that a scientist at, for example, MIT or one of these other institutions you mentioned had made headlines because he or she had spoken out about the ethics of relying on a patron like Epstein for financial support. Dr. Eggener, based on your experience as a scientist and someone working in academia, what do you expect would have happened to a scientist who chose to speak out?
I think a scientist most likely would have had his career destroyed. And I have a friend who is a very prominent scientist who told me a number of years ago that he strongly supported intelligent design theory. And he was quite appreciative of the work that the Discovery Institute is doing. But he himself couldn't speak out on the topic, because if he said anything in favor of ID, he would be blacklisted the rest of his career. He would never get another grant. He would be persona non grata in the scientific community. And the reality is that the scientific community is a very closed community. There are severe penalties paid for people who buck the system, for people who don't go along with the consensus. And as it turned out, one of the aspects of the scientific consensus was that Jeffrey Epstein was a perfectly fine guy to be taking money from. So not a single scientist spoke out. So if you can imagine, if no one in the scientific community had the courage, the integrity, or was willing to take the risk to speak up about Jeffrey Epstein, despite the fact that thousands of people, thousands, knew what was going on and knew it was morally wrong, what do you think the likelihood is that they'll tell the truth to the public about how they feel about intelligent design or about immateriality of the human mind? The reality is that there's a code of silence in the scientific community, and the scientific community's complete silence regarding the Epstein scandal while the scandal was going on is striking evidence of that code of silence. So we can't trust the scientific consensus, because there was a scientific consensus that Jeffrey Epstein was a perfectly fine guy to be taking money from.
You mentioned, by way of example of censorship among professors and scientists, a friend of yours that mentioned that he couldn't speak up about his thoughts about intelligent design because of what it would do to his career. I'm wondering if you could give me an example of some highly credentialed scientists you know who have made the decision to speak up and have been publicly ostracized for publishing evidence against Darwinian evolution.
Well, Richard Sternberg is a very good example. Richard is an extraordinarily qualified scientist who was affiliated with the Smithsonian Institute probably 10 or 15 years ago, who published Stephen Meyer's article about the inadequacy of the Darwinian paradigm to explain the Cambrian explosion. And Sternberg was mercilessly attacked and driven out of affiliation with the Smithsonian Institute as a result of that. Many of the scientists who are associated with the Discovery Institute have been the target of really, really vicious campaigns against their integrity, campaigns against their careers, because they've had the they've had the courage and the honesty to speak out in public about the obvious design in biology. So this is a very serious problem. In fact, there was a movie made about this called Expelled with Ben Stein that told the story of a number of these scientists and of the retribution that they experienced. And the Jeffrey Epstein story makes it clear that this kind of vindictiveness isn't only about intelligent design. That is, that generally speaking, scientists are not free to speak out, and they know what will happen. And they're not even free to speak out about somebody who is as corrupt as Jeffrey Epstein. Even on Jeffrey Epstein, they had to remain silent or put their careers at risk.
From your perspective, what do we stand to lose as a larger culture when science is about this consensus? For example, this consensus you mentioned that Epstein was a great patron, or consensus that materialism is all there is. What do we stand to lose as a larger culture when science is about this rather than about objectivity and discovery?
Well, first of all, it makes for very bad science. That is, a very good example would be the evidence over the past 5 years or so that junk DNA was not a legitimate scientific conclusion. It had been believed for decades that much of the genome is just junk, is just errors due to Darwinian evolution. But it's becoming increasingly clear that what the DNA that was thought to be junk really isn't junk, and it's doing important things. And the assumption that it was junk probably set back molecular genetic research decades. Because if you assume that large areas of the genome aren't doing anything meaningful, well, you don't really investigate them very carefully. The recourse to scientific consensus really can impede scientific research. It's very much like if scientific research were a car, the recourse to consensus would be like driving the car with a parking brake on. It really slows down research. The other thing it does is it misrepresents to the public what the genuine scientific questions are. And there are lots of scientific questions, for example, in biology, that relate to design, that relate to the evidence for intelligent agency in biological things. And the public is not being told about that because of this sort of code of silence among scientists.
Dr. Eggener, thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thank you. Thank you.
You can find Dr. Michael Eggner's 2019 article titled Jeffrey Epstein and the Silence of the Scientists online at evolutionnews.org. And also you can find in our store at discovery.org the film that Dr. Eggner mentioned, Expelled. Dr. Eggner is a practicing physician and a professor of pediatric neurosurgery at Stony Brook University in New York. He serves on the scientific advisory board of the Hydrocephalus Association, and he is also a senior fellow at Discovery Institute's Walter Bradley Center for Natural and Artificial Intelligence. I'm Emily Kurlinski. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode of ID the Future.